This morning I wanted to begin by relating to you a story, something that I think about from time to time, and I'm sure some of you also think about in your lives from time to time. That is, what is God's purpose for me? Some of you fill in your own name there. What is God's purpose in this life for you? Now, oftentimes I have challenged myself to try to figure out what that purpose is. I've thought about, well, why did God give me this specific role or this specific task? Trying to figure out where I am in relation to God and His purpose for me. That's a challenge. Sometimes I think I'm put on this earth to rear up my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think maybe that's my purpose. Sometimes I think my purpose here on earth is to work with a local congregation here at Waynesville, to be a profitable servant, helping others and ministering to those in need or teaching, helping one another in songs and in many other various ways. Perhaps that's my purpose. Perhaps that's why God put me here. Sometimes I think maybe my purpose is something a little different. Maybe at my job. Maybe that's why I'm here, is to teach someone at my job about the truth, about God's will for them. We all struggle with what God's purpose is for us. We all question at times why we are here. Sometimes I try to figure out why God put me here in Ohio. Why not back in my homeland in the state of Washington? And it'll always be home to me. Why did God place me here in Waynesville and in Morrow and in Springboro where I work? God put me here for a reason. I don't know what it is. It's not clearly defined. It's, as it were, mysterious. That unknown, that reason, that purpose. Some of you, I think, could in your own minds reflect back in your own life and wonder why God caused those things to happen to you that happened to you. Be it circumstances at home, circumstances at work. Maybe it's a physical or medical circumstance that you've endured. What is your purpose? Why do you suffer these things? Why do you go through these tests that God puts you through? We can read story after story in the Bible about great men and great women who were examples in Scripture and children. There are many examples of children as well. We oftentimes come across this question, what is your plan for me, O God? One of our greatest struggles is to try to discern God's will and plans for our lives. We try to work it out in our own minds. We try to say, well, this happened to me, so then therefore that God wants me to do this. Or to respond in this particular way. How do we determine the next step God wants us to take, so that we can cooperate with His purpose and calling for us? How do we interpret the signs or discern His promptings in our hearts? You might say, well, what are you talking about? God speaks to us through His Word. I have no doubts about that. But God still interacts with us. God still gives us things He wants us to do. We don't always know what those things are. You see, His will, His purpose at times is mysterious to us. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph, who is 17 years old, is out tending the flocks. He is out with his brothers. And he doesn't know what God's purpose for him is. He's still a young man. What was God's will for Joseph's life? We're going to use Joseph as an example this morning to glean some things that we need to learn, some things that we need to be taught from the life of Joseph in the Word of God. We're going to be beginning in Genesis chapter 37, 2 through 36. We're not going to read the whole text, of course. In verse 2, after Joseph is out with his brothers, he comes back to his father and brings a bad report about his brothers. Then later on, we see that Joseph has a couple of dreams, one about the sheaves, and all the sheaves around him come and bow down before him. The second dream about the stars and the moon and the sun, and they come and they bow down before him. That is, his brothers and his parents would bow down before Joseph. What a mysterious dream that would have been to Joseph and his brothers. And it said his brothers hated him even more because of his dream. They hated him first for the bad report, but now they hate him even more because of his two dreams. His brothers hate him so much, they sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels. I don't know how much that is, but 20 shekels for selling your own brother. Imagine if you were Joseph, why am I being treated like this? Why am I being taken away and sold into slavery in the land of Egypt? A foreign land with strangers. With Potiphar, who would become his master as a slave. Where Joseph would be wronged and would be mistreated by the Egyptians, who hated Hebrews and mistreated them because of that hatred. In fact, they enslaved Joseph because of his nationality. Joseph's own brethren sold him into slavery. Imagine you being sold into slavery and being taken away to some foreign land or foreign place that you have no knowledge of. You have no friends there, no family, no connections, no job, and you're going to be treated like a slave. Would you not be questioning why God caused these things, these circumstances to happen to you? I'm sure Joseph did. He sees the mighty kingdom of Egypt. At that time, a world dominant superpower, much like the United States is today. But the story doesn't stop there. Joseph is brought low for sure. He learns great humility by becoming a slave. He learns great humility by being sold into slavery by his own brothers. You see, before, when he had the dreams about his family, perhaps he could have become proud and saying, God, look at me. But Joseph, in this story, teaches us great humility. Joseph interprets two dreams while he is cast into prison by the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh. Later, Joseph is then called on and interprets two dreams that Pharaoh has, which come true. Joseph gives God credit for the interpretation there in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 16 and again in verse 32. Joseph learns to give credit to God, whom it belongs to, in interpreting his dreams. That's a major shift. In his first interpretation of his family, he doesn't give credit to God. But this time, he makes sure that he gives credit to God. To me, I think Joseph learned a great lesson. Pharaoh then sets Joseph over all of Egypt. recognizing no one was as discerning as him. There in chapter 40, verse 40, since God has informed you of all of this, at just age 30, just 13 years after he sold into slavery, God exalts Joseph to become the second ruler in the greatest kingdom on earth, Egypt. And we know that in verse 46 of chapter 40. What was God's plan for him? The story doesn't stop there. Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, God was with Joseph, and he blessed Joseph, so he became successful. Let's review a couple of items that happened in Joseph's life. Potiphar first sets Joseph over his whole house. Genesis 39, verses 4 through 6. But then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. But Joseph has learned some things. He refuses the Potiphar's wife, saying, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? There in Genesis 39, verse 8. Genesis 39, verse 20 tells us Joseph fled. He fled from that situation, that circumstance. But Potiphar's wife tells Potiphar, who cast Joseph into prison, verse 20. Joseph then, in prison, gains favor with the jailer and put everyone under Joseph's supervision. See, Joseph's character becomes to come out. Even though he's a slave, even though he's imprisoned, he begins to remember and reflect that God has a purpose for him. And he still remains faithful to God, even in this foreign land, even where no one would have known who he was or what he was about. Sometimes in secret places, your faith will define your character. Your faith will tell the people around you who you are as a Christian. Your faith in God will shine in dark places, like the prison that Joseph found himself in Egypt, or in the dark situation with Potiphar's wife. It defined who he was, and he fled from that place. Did Joseph ever doubt his purpose? In all of these situations and all of these circumstances, time and time again, he's being brought low. At first, he's sold into Egypt. Then he's made a slave at Potiphar's house, seduced by Potiphar's wife. Then he's accused of committing an unspeakable act against Potiphar's wife, cast into prison. And in prison, he's there for, I think, a couple of years, actually. If you were sitting in prison, would you ever doubt God's purpose for you? God gave Joseph dreams in Genesis chapter 37. But note, he never gave Joseph any direction or any instruction to Joseph about what was going to happen next. Just your family's going to bow down to you one day. No specific instruction. No, Joseph, no, I need you to go down to Egypt and do... No, Joseph, you're going to be exalted and become... God never gives those instructions or directions to Joseph. Oftentimes in my life, I realize God has given me the general purpose and the general direction, but not the specific instructions outside of Scripture. He doesn't say, Cody, I need you to go and be a father to your children. He doesn't say, Cody, I need you to go to Waynesville to do this and this. Cody, I need you to go and work at your job and teach and be that example. He tells me in Scripture. He doesn't tell me what specific job or specific location. Joseph probably wondered why he was sold into slavery. He probably wondered why he was cast into prison. What was the purpose of these things? Well, we come to find out in that story that he knew how to behave in a foreign land where no one knew where or who he was. God essentially communicated to Joseph what was right and what was wrong. He asked Joseph to act on that based on whatever situation he was in. Joseph, in all of these things, he knew the right thing to do. He showed his character as a man of faith and stands as a testament in the Old Testament. He stands as a great example to us in the Old Testament as a great character. God never revealed to Joseph what he was going to do to him. God did reveal to Pharaoh what he was going to do. In the dreams, he was going to bring 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Recall the story. Only after the fact was Joseph ever able to discern God had a plan for him. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Joseph realized he was sent down to Egypt, that God would eventually use the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker to exalt him in the eyes of Pharaoh, and then interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and get exalted to be the second in command of all of Egypt. And that when all the food was gathered in and then the 7 years of famine came upon the land, Joseph's own brothers would return to him down in Egypt, and that they would bow before him just as Joseph had dreamed. And that Joseph was sent there ahead of his brothers, sent to Egypt ahead of his family, to preserve their lives, to make sure that they not only had food in the years of famine, but that all of Israel and the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel, would come down to Egypt. You see, God meant it all for good. God used Joseph. He used his circumstances, even in the darkest hour. God used Joseph to accomplish God's will. Was that hard for Joseph to understand? Well, yeah, at the time, of course it was. Was it easy to comprehend why he was put in prison? Well, yeah, it was. Of course it was hard to understand. Only after Joseph's brothers returned did Joseph finally understand God's will for him. God does the same thing in your life, just like he does in my life. Sometimes we don't realize God's purpose or plan until after it happens, till after God's accomplished his will for us. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. God had an important purpose for Joseph. He excelled in his abilities, interpreting dreams. Being in the right place where God wanted him enabled him to show his faith, to show his character. Joseph, because of his faith, because of his character, because he excelled in all of his work, stood before Pharaoh, a just man. And Pharaoh recognized there was no one on this earth that could discern like Joseph could. What about you? Are you like Joseph? Does your faith and your character shine in the darkest hours? Can people see your faith? Can you stand justified before men? I hope so. After all, we're all Christians. After all, God has a purpose for you. After all, God has called upon you just like he called upon Joseph to stand in the hour of darkness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for all good works. Joseph had to endure these trials. Joseph had to go through slavery and imprisonment so that he might become thoroughly equipped, a man of God, ready to be profitable in his teaching, ready to reprove his brothers who mistreated him and sold him into slavery, ready to correct them gently and say, you meant it for evil, brothers, but God used this action of yours, selling me into slavery, he used it for good. You see, Joseph was corrected. Joseph began to give credit always to God, recognizing everything that God did for him was for good, and giving God the credit. You see, Joseph, he's trained in righteousness. By his character and acting right, he is able to learn from it. His brothers are able to learn from it, and we can also be trained in his righteousness, how to stand before kings, how in the darkest hour to be faithful, even in the little things. So that we, although we endure trials, although we endure temptation, although we endure things at work, things at school, or things in our family, God is equipping us for every good work he intends for us to do. See, God has a plan for us. It begins with you completely, wholeheartedly putting your trust in God. Joseph did. He trusted God with everything he had. Wherever God's will, he will get us where he needs us at the exact time, at the exact place where he wants us to be. Just trust him. God had plans for Joseph. He never communicated any of them. Yet God got his plans accomplished. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You and I are called for God's purpose. He's given us a set of instructions, what is right, what is wrong. He expects us to act in the right. He expects us to accomplish his purpose, because all who love God, all these things will work together to accomplish great and magnificent things in this world. Just like Joseph accomplished a great deliverance of his people and brought them down all to Egypt, where they would grow into a mighty nation, a nation of God. God's ultimate will, his ultimate plan, and his ultimate purpose for Joseph's life and ours is one simple thing: point people to Jesus. Show them where their salvation is. Show them where to put their trust in God. God didn't communicate his plan to Joseph about his life or how he would accomplish it. Do you ever try to determine God's sovereign plan for your life through your inclinations or circumstances? God's communication to us is simply teaching us right from wrong. His grace is sufficient. It will uphold us. Our task is to act based on this teaching, and he will accomplish his will if we just trust in him. What struggles do you have with pursuing right behavior or avoiding wrong behavior defined in the New Testament? How can we, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, help you? What excites you about learning that God's ultimate purpose and plan and calling for all His people is to point them to Jesus Christ? What a wonderful thought that is. If we can help you this morning in any way, if you have sin in your life, you need to repent of that sin. If you are struggling with something in your life and you need us to pray with you and pray for you, whether it be a sin or a sickness or something at work, we can pray for you. If you're not a Christian and you would like to become a child of God, you'd like to put all of your faith, all of your trust in Him, you can be baptized this morning and put on Christ. If you're subject in any way to the gospel call of invitation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.